All right. Hey, this is Act 2 of the podcast. We're getting right back into it. If you missed Act 1, go back and listen to that thing. Otherwise, this isn't going to make any sense. Okay. See ya. All right. What am I doing now? I know I've got something. Facebook fight, check. Okay. This was a national story about how in Michigan here, north of the hard living line, Traverse City.
We begin tonight.
There was a guy that did a mass attack, a mass stabbing. If he had a gun, he probably would have shot people. Brad Gilley is his name. He stabbed 11 people at the Traverse City Walmart. And that was a big story this past weekend. And so now there's more fallout. The guy was just arraigned. He's a homeless dude. He's completely fucked up. And so what I'm gathering here is that when he was like a teenager, he did a bunch of fucking drugs, and it made his brain all fucked up. And he's been, his whole life, this guy has been fucked. So now his brother, who's not fucked up, is weighing in about how fucked up his brother is. So let's find that out.
With new information on the man charged with terrorism and 11 counts of assault with intent to murder after 11 people were stabbed in the Traverse City Walmart
over the weekend. Sorry
about the low audio. The brother of Bradford Gilley is sharing details about his brother's long struggle with mental illness. 13 on Your Side's Kiara Patterson spoke with him. She joins us now with what he said.
What's up with the size of her head and shape of it? She looks like that's a fetal alcohol syndrome face right there.
His brother Shane says the warning signs were there for years, and his family tried all they could to get him help.
Throw the knife that way.
There you go. Lavender shirt, dirty feet guy, and then he's bad guy's guy with the hat, and then broken Velcro strap guy's pushing the cart. Old man doesn't know what's going on. A lot of blue on blue. And the one black guy in the city has a gun on him.
Saturday's mass stabbing at Traverse City Walmart shocked the community. But for Bradford Gilley's family, it was a tragedy they feared for years.
I don't even know which one is him. I think it's this guy in the plaid.
We have been trying for 28 years to get him into a placement. We're honestly not surprised by any of this.
28 years to get him in a placement.
Gilley, now in custody, is charged with terrorism and assault with intent to murder. He's accused of stabbing 11 people.
Good news. No one died, and he is going to get placement. He's probably going to get placement for life. But this guy's crazy. If he beats the rap, it would only be because you can prove that he's crazy, which I hate the fact that in our prison system or in our judicial system, people have the possibility of not going to prison because of mental illness. Like the guy who shot Ronald Reagan, John Hinckley. He shot Ronald Reagan. They said, oh, he's crazy. And he did not go to prison. He was in a mental institution. And now, late in life, he's free. He's free to do what he wants to do.
Just 29 to 85.
I say, if you have a mental illness, and you like this old lady here, she got stabbed. She's bleeding out. She ended up being okay. If you hurt anybody and you are mentally ill, it doesn't matter. You just go to prison and that's the end of it. I just wish we had less of a humanitarian side in our judicial system. I think we need to be a little rougher around the edges. Bad people have too many rights, in my opinion.
Four, with a 3.5-inch knife on Saturday, July 26th. His brother Shane says Bradford's mental illness.
Crazy guy is the one holding the bag right here. Look at him. You can just see it in his eyes. He's a young man right there. He's fucked up.
This began at age 15 after a bad reaction to drugs that left him on a permanent trip.
It never wore off. We ended up going down to the DeVos Children's Hospital down in Grand Rapids, and we stayed in the Ronald McDonald House for a layover time until he was diagnosed. The actual diagnosis came down to schizophrenia.
Since then, Shane said...
Okay, so this family, it's like, this is no surprise to us that he did this. None. I think that if you've got a deranged family member like this, I think it's the family's responsibility to keep tabs on him. even if it means bringing him into your own home. Like if the NFK were wandering the street right now and I knew it, that he was deranged, I would still have to bring him in and I would just like shackle him to the wall and say, yeah, this is how it is. I'm protecting the community. You're crazy. You haven't done anything wrong. So I'm going to keep you out of prison. Are you? Yeah, I am. So you're going to be chained to the wall. And I got this TV here and I'll bring you some fucking frozen lasagna a couple times a day. And then you can go to the bathroom and I'll have my pistol on you. And then that's it. You don't leave the house. You are my responsibility, because if he sneaks out and hurts somebody, then it's my fault.
His brother cycled through short-term care, brief stays, temporary meds, and then release.
We've gotten calls from Pennsylvania that he was running down the highway naked. The community mental health system itself needs to be revamped, reworked, refunded, and looked over again.
What do you mean by that? I always am suspicious when people say, yeah, the system's bad. I don't know that it is. I think that the only thing that the system can be guilty of is not being more stringent when it comes to locking these animals away, which is where they need to be. If you have somebody who's fucked up, they should be institutionalized, period. They should not be out wandering the streets and stabbing 11 people who are shopping.
2016, Bradford tried to dig up a grave. Okay. Shane says his brother...
Yeah, so that long ago, 2019, I'm going to dig up a grave. Yeah, he's fine.
...was convinced his dad was buried alive. He was found not guilty by reason of insanity.
And still that wasn't enough to get him placement. Or they thought it would be a better idea or more humane to put him on the street.
Mental health experts say
okay,
the
so
system
him and his brother
is...
His brother and I are on the same page. He needs to be locked up. Now, when you say placement, that's a nice way of saying it. To me, just lock them up. That's the end of it.
And underfunded.
It is almost impossible to get people in the state psychiatric hospitals. They're full, and the criteria to get in is more stringent. Our current laws in our society.
Okay, well, then just put them in prison.
Really prevent them.
Newsflash, he's going to prison.
For being picked up and placed in a hospital.
Now, as the stabbing victims recover, Shane says his family carries guilt too, but wants people to know they tried.
Most sincere condolences. People, folks, we tried. We tried to take care of him and get him placement, and we were unsuccessful.
And Bradford Gilly was charged yesterday
against his will
and is due to appear
back to fetal alcohol syndrome
back in court on August 12th. Juliet,
we'll continue to follow.
Yeah, you're getting more and more people with birth defects that are doing the news these days. Comments. Yoda World says you can't really fix someone who has no interest in fixing themselves. There's no way. Oh, I get that. Lock them up against their will. That's what you need to do. We need to be more aggressive with psychos, okay? People who are going to harm the innocents, they need to be round up and locked away for extended time. Deal with it later. Who gives a shit? Tyler says, I did a brief stint at an AFC home. What does that mean? Does that mean like Buffalo Bills, Miami Dolphins, Tennessee Titans, Kansas City Chiefs? I have never heard of the AFC home. And what does that have to do with this? I didn't know. Is that kind of like the Heisman House on ESPN, the AFC home? Anyway, he says you'd be surprised the people that are not locked up and can live amongst us. Oh, okay. He says adult foster care. Wait a minute. So you worked there or you needed the care? I'm assuming you worked there. David says it's not good. We need those mental hospitals again. Yeah, there was like so-and-so house for the criminally insane. Did you ever see that movie called Shutter Island with Leo DiCaprio? Oh, my God. I think that might have been a... was that a Scorsese film? I think it was a Scorsese film. It was either Scorsese or Kubrick. Shutter Island. Who made Shutter Island? It was Scorsese. Oh, my God. Such a good movie. What a mind fuck. Chris says they locked Carl from Sling Blade in a mental hospital. Yes. That's true.
In the mental hospital.
No, Tyler worked there. He wasn't in it. I think it should be as little. I think that the people that are on the front lines of the wackos are the ones closely related to them. Like the NFK here right now, he's on a fine line here at this house. Right now, everything is good. Watch TV, get peanut butter on his hands, rub it on my cabinets, shit his pants for no apparent reason, throw his underwear away in the garbage, not wipe his asshole. These are all things that he does. And, I don't really challenge him on these things too often because I'm going to make him crack. And that's the last thing you want to do is have, I mean, he's going to bury a knife in me while I'm sound asleep. So we don't rock the boat. No. Take it easy. Make sure he's happy. For the love of God, make sure the cable bill is paid. And God forbid if there's an update on the box or something like it was the other day. Hi, Eric. Yeah. What the fuck's this? And it says, your system needs to restart. Turn the box on and off. He goes, I don't know what to do. I go, oh, yeah, okay. I think I just got to shut the box on and off. Well, I don't know. Shut the box off. Turn the box on. It works. I got to thinking that if we were away on a trip for any amount of time and that happened, oh my God. Dozens dead in the neighborhood. All the kids will be murdered. So I don't fuck with them to keep things normal around here. But if I notice that it's fucked up, I can make the call and say, yeah, hey, this guy's fucked up. Come and get him. No, we don't do that. What do you mean? Well, in this day and age, you can't just call it in and we come and get them like the old days. In the old days, we would just show up at your house, beat the shit out of them, put them in a straitjacket, get them. I'm like, good. Yeah, let's do that. No, we can't. Well, what has to happen? Well, he's got to go to Walmart. Huh? Yeah. Hey, put a knife in his hand. Tell him to go to Walmart. He's going to stab people. And then he'll be out of your hair. Otherwise, you can shackle them to the wall. So I am just an empty peanut butter jar away from having to shackle them. And I will, if push comes to shove, say, hey, I noticed you're walking around and you've killed two of the four dogs. I'm going to have to shackle it because the mental institution is not a thing anymore. We can't just lock you away like Shutter Island, as much as I would love that. You've killed two dogs. You wrote down that you want to kill children. But I cannot, nobody believes me. So I'm just going to shackle you to the wall. I think that whoever got stabbed at Walmart should be allowed to sue the family of this asshole because they did not shackle him to the wall. Nick in GR says, I will never forget dropping my mom off every morning for a week at Pine Rest outpatient in the stories. Oh, boy. Aram says, what is Pooh Bear's reaction to the peanut butter on the cabinets? Shrugs. Same. We don't say anything. Hey, you know, I'll clean it for you. No big deal. You just got to keep these crazy people at bay is what you got to do. I gave him a task when we went away. I go, hey, buddy, I need your help. And he was all about it. He's got chores to do now. His chores include filling the cat bowl up with food and watering my plants. I got this lily. I got a moth lily and another lily. I forgot what the fuck it's called. And then a third plant in the sunroom. I go, Kevin, you got to water these. He goes, I will. I go, I already got the little watering can filled up. You just got to grab it, tip it. Now, when I came back, all the plants were near death. He didn't do any of it. I realized that I had pushed him to the limit with the feeding the cats. The cats did get fed, probably too much, but the plants were dying. So I watered them and they're back now. But no, even my African violet, it's dry as a fucking bone. Adam says, what does Pop Pop's grandkids think of the NFK? I don't know. There's not a lot of interaction. I think they sense he's a psychopath. So they, you know how like when you're a young parent and you have little kids and you warn children of like the sick, the sicko who will kill them or hurt them. It's him. So this is a real life embodiment of what to avoid, in my opinion. So I don't know. I mean, I don't parent them that much. Mom and dad do a great job of that. And they probably said, okay, now you see that, you stay away from that. Wouldn't surprise me at all. And you can't blame him. He looks like a psychopath. How does Ash and the NFK get along? Everybody here has the idea that, hey, how are you? You know, they've all been briefed. Keep it simple. Brief conversations. Short little interactions. And stay the fuck out of his way. And there is a nice, the word is homeostasis. Do you remember that from your biology class? When it comes to like the life of a cell, you're looking for homeostasis. There is a homeostasis. There is a balance right now in the nature of the household. We have a homeostasis moment right now taking place, and it needs to stay that way. Adam says the cell phone video of his face scared the shit out of me. I will include that in the notes of this podcast. It's a good call. He's a gruesome looking soul. Adam wrote, I'm taking a video of Mr. Kickass, which was the quote he wrote or he said in that video. God, it was so disturbing. If any of you remember that, you know exactly what he's talking about. I'm taking a video of me, Kickass, not Mr. Kickass. By the way, you've been fat fingering it quite a bit. Nick writes, Mom was good. She had an anxiety episode, but the stories from her being there were eye-opening. To be clear, my mom's not crazy. Whoever brought up Pop Pop during the Epstein topic on Patreon, that was a keen comparison. Okay, I'll have to take your word for it. I don't know what that means, and I don't know when that happened. I feel it was relatively recent on the show. That doesn't surprise me at all. for the longest time, the chat on this show has tried to cultivate this idea that I'm into children. And I have been defending myself for quite some time, and I'm okay with you guys throwing that out there, because I know it's just ridiculous. Nick is in the chat. He heard my reference earlier that he is next up for the Big Fraud Book Club. We're not yet done with Nikki Six. We'll finish reviewing that on the 11th of August. But Nick says he has already picked out his book. He says, I will pick out one from Anthony Jeselnik's list. He said this is one of the best books he's ever read with a crazy twist at the end. I've been really wanting to read it. It's called Martyr. And I'm glad you mentioned that, because I wasn't going to play this, but now I will.
I've read eight.
Because it is a clip of one of the more brilliant performers, comedians.
I've read 80
talkers, Anthony Jeselnik. Here is a clip. My 10 favorite books of the year by Anthony.
I've read 89 books. 51 of them were released this year. Number 10, Intermezzo by Sally Rooney. I just enjoy spending.
Sorry. I don't know what the fuck I'm doing.
Intermezzo by Sally Rooney. I just enjoy spending time in Sally Rooney's world. I like this one a lot. I don't think it was better than any of other books or worse than any of other books. Blue Ruin by Hari Kunzru, a former artist, drops out of the art world, ends up as like a door dasher during the pandemic, goes to drop off groceries at a house, and the house ends up being his former rival in art school and his former girlfriend, who are now living together. And he ends up having to live with them for a couple weeks during the pandemic. It's great. The Bright
Is that a true story? Because otherwise, I don't want to read that one.
Sword, a novel.
The Bright Sword.
King Arthur by Lev Grossman. It's like a King Arthur, but with a lot of fucks in it. And I loved it. You're Dead by Sam Sachs. This novel is fucked up. It's about a dude who lights himself on fire. And the entire novel takes place from after he sets himself on fire until he dies. It's super fucked up. And I loved it. Rejection by Tony Tillithamut. All short stories dealing with rejection. All very timely, beautiful, heartbreaking. Our Evenings by Alan Hollinghurst. Beautifully written story about a fucking guy. I couldn't even tell you what the plot was, but reading it, I was like, this feels like the reading equivalent of listening to a symphony. Hollinghurst.
All right. Let me just say this. All of these books sound like shit, but I like the way he talks. That's what I have to say about this. I just like him.
This is one of the greatest writers living today. Help Wanted by Adele Waldman. Help Wanted changed the way I think about the world. Changed the way I think about the people who work in these big box stores. People who work in a Walmart. It was all about them and their inner lives, their hopes, their dreams. Gained empathy.
I can tell you what their lives are like. They're shitty. I don't need a book to tell me about how fucked up the lives our guy at Walmart, what he's going through. And now he's probably getting stabbed by crazy people like the guy I got watching TV in my fucking sunroom.
For an entire class of human beings in America. Number three, James.
I would not have any empathy for those people. I'd be like, fuck you, get away from me.
James by Percival Everett. A fucking banger. I think it's like a retelling of Huck Finn from the character Jim. It's not that at all. It is so much more. I love Percival Everett. I love the twist. I love the writing. I love everything about it. Number two, Martyr by Kaveh Akbar. Incredible book. Could have easily been my number one. It is a heartbreaking book. Great twist. And when I say great, I mean you do not see it coming and you're like, holy shit. I think it may have made me cry. And my number one.
Okay, so basically that's the book that is the book we're reading. So that sounds
made me cry.
I need to back that up.
Really been my number one. It is a heartbreaking book. I love everything about it. Number two, Martyr by Kaveh Akbar.
We're reading Martyr by Kaveh Akbar.
incredible book. Could have easily been my number one. It is a heartbreaking book. Great twist. And when I say great, I mean you do not see it coming. And you're like, holy shit. I think it may have made me cry. And my number
one. All right. So that sounds heavy.
One, I think this is an underrated book, is The Heart in Winter by Kevin Berry. It's a Western. It's a romance. The most I laughed out loud at a book this year was one joke in The Heart in Winter by Kevin Berry. Those are my top 10.
Okay. Those all sound horrible. But I'm going to give them a chance because that's what we do in book club. It's his pick. Nick says that Anthony Jeselnik sounds like John Malkovich. Nick says, is everyone okay with that? You are not allowed to ask that question. That is not your question to ask. You know what you do? You say, fuck off. That's the book. You have carte blanche on book club. Don't give me this, is everyone okay with that bullshit? Of course we're okay with it. That's the rule of book club. You just read. Jeremy touches on that exact thing. Who cares? It's your choice. Kuipers does not like Anthony Jeselnik's voice. I think you'll like his comedy. He's great.
You guys can probably tell I'm pretty cool. Fraternity in college.
Okay, hang on.
You guys can probably tell I'm pretty cool. And one of my fraternity brothers was this guy named Clumsy. It wasn't his real name, but the guy was Clumsy. Right? One day, Clumsy tells us he wants to buy a gun, and we all say, no, Clumsy, don't do it. You're gonna kill yourself. But Clumsy doesn't listen. Sure enough, the day he brought the gun home, Clumsy killed himself because he hated that nickname.
Every one of his jokes is one of those. Boy, how's he going to wrap this up? How does he get there? How does he get to that punch at the end? I have never watched a clip of Anthony Jeselnik. And I thought, oh my God, that sucked. He has never, ever let me down. I think we talked to him once way back when on the old show. I don't remember. Megan says, can I cry during book club? Too bad. I will anyway. Anyway. Yes, you may. As long as your shoes are off. You can cry. Chris says, you don't ask permission, Nick. The picker picks, the readers read. Rebecca says, I already ordered it. No take backs.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Nick says, that is the same guy. I didn't recognize him. His comedy is great. Megan says he sounds like John Mulvaney? Or you mean John Mulaney? Is that the guy? I don't know if it's Mulvaney. I don't know. Whatever. Bob says, driver picks the music, passenger shuts their pie hole. Yeah, precisely. Don't be fucking with the radio, asshole. Okay, thanks, Nick. Martyr by something Akbar. Hang on. Martyr book writer. Martyr. What's this? Martyr. Akbar. Okay. Kava Akbar. Isn't that what they say when they fly the plane into the building? Kava Akbar! All right, he's a goddamn Iranian. He's an Iranian-American poet, novelist, and editor. This is who we're reading. He's the author of the poetry collections Calling a Wolf a Wolf and Pilgrim Bell and the novel Martyr. A New York Times bestseller, National Book Award finalist, and one of Barack Obama's favorite books of the year. He is director of the undergraduate creative writing program at the University of Iowa. He is the founder of Dive Dapper and poetry editor of The Nation. In 2018, NPR called Kava Akbar and his poetry, called him poetry's biggest cheerleader. In 2024, he received a Guggenheim Fellowship, and Time Magazine put him on its Time 100 Next list. All right. This is going to suck so much cock. He was born in Tehran, Iran in 1989. His family immigrated to the U.S. when he was two. He grew up in several states, including New Jersey, Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, and Indiana. He received his bachelor's degree from Purdue, his MFA from Butler, and his PhD in creative writing from Florida State. Thanks, Nick. Thanks for this garbage. All right, so everybody's got to get this stupid fucking book by Allah Akbar and read the book Martyr about what it's like to kill innocent people. That's what Nick wants us to read. Adam says Samaritan movie novelization. No doubt that's what he would pick. Rebecca says, Jeremy keeps making book suggestions for me. Tell him to join and suggest his own. I didn't know he wasn't in. Why are you not in, asshole? Chris says, is this a poetry book? No, you idiot. I just said he's written poetry books and he's written a novel called Martyr. I just said that. We had a whole conversation about it. But yes, his wheelhouse is poetry. Nick says, if it's good, it was my choice. If it sucks, it was Anthony Jeselnik's choice. Bob says it's written by the It's a Trap guy from Star Wars. Badger says proceeds of every book go to Iran's nuclear fund. Maureen says it says in the description that it's funny. Okay. Well, I mean, it can be funny, especially if you're a suicide bomber blowing up kids, because I think that is hilarious. I mean, who doesn't, really? I don't want to live in a world where wearing a suicide vest and blowing up a market is not looked at as hilarious. Jeremy said, I don't have time to read, and you said audiobook was unacceptable. All right, I'll make an exception for book club. But you do have time to read. I know you do. You just don't manage it appropriately. It takes half an hour a day. Read, dick. Adam suggests that the next few book clubs may get heated. Well, boy, I sure hope this is a good book. I'm going to give it benefit of the doubt here. To some degree, in all seriousness. And that's what the joy of book club is. It could be a pile of shit. We don't know. It could be a pile of shit, and you don't want it to be a pile of shit. And everybody says it's a pile of shit, and you're still holding out hope that it's not a pile of shit. We might have that scenario. That's what makes the conversations about book club, the possibilities are endless, frankly. I don't think we'll get that with our second episode when we talk about the rest of the Heroin Diaries, because that's a fantastic read that Linda chose for her dumb sister who didn't realize that in book club you have to have a book picked out. The hell, Maureen? Anyway, What else do I have for you? I don't even think I finished what I was talking about beforehand. We were talking about mental health, and then we fell into book club. I don't really have anything more to say about dude and his mental illness. You know what I do want to get into? Ozzy Osbourne was laid to rest in the UK. Being described as a very emotional farewell. As you would expect, Ozzy very lovable. It wasn't like the death of Hulk Hogan, you know? Hulk Hogan died and everybody said good. The only people who love Hulk Hogan are people that you don't want to be associated with. You know, with Ozzy, it's like he's the most lovable idiot on the planet, or was. This is a clip that I have here of the family doing their thing, arriving in Birmingham, England, to pay their final respects. I don't know if I like marching band playing Crazy Train as Sharon gets out of the limousine with Jack helping her. Seems a little graceful. And then there's Kelly. Mom can barely walk. She is so stricken with grief. That's the other daughter that you never saw on the Osbournes. I forget her name. She was always kind of like you'd see the back of her head occasionally. She's still apart from the family, it looks like. You know? Isn't that weird? She's not helping Mom. This reminds me of that scene when they're unveiling Rocky's statue. And the band is playing the Rocky theme and everyone's going, yeah, except this is for someone who died. I guess it works. They're shouting Sharon. That guy you just bent down, that was Sharon's son. All right.
We love you, Ozzy.
This is a very touching moment.
Sharon! Ozzy forever!
Sharon, we love you!
Sharon, we love you! Ozzy! Rebecca says there are a lot of people there. It's like a royal funeral. Agreed. Especially, this is his hometown of Birmingham, so. This is what you get when you are beloved. You know? Everybody loves you. You haven't called anybody the N-word. Now, it won't be like this at the Hogan funeral. The one daughter looks like Demi Moore, but a little bit rougher. Okay, so they pay the respects to the flower arrangement, little memorial they have there. But look at them. Wow, that is quite a procession. Ozzy's inside of that vehicle. Throwing flowers at it. That is exceptional. I think that's cool. Even the band works. You got there they are. There's the marching band playing the song. They should play like that one. Remember he had that one song that they tried to pin some idiot killed himself? And I forget the name of the song. I think it was called I think the kid's name was like Larry, and the song was called Kill Yourself, Larry. And so this kid, Larry, killed himself, and they tried to say that it was Ozzy's fault. You remember that one? It might not have been, the song might not have been called Kill Yourself, Larry, but it definitely had something to do with killing yourself. And Ozzy said,
it wasn't about Larry. It's a song about love.
And I think he beat the rap on that deal. And that's really the only knock that you have on Ozzy, is that in the song Kill Yourself, Larry, that this guy, Larry, actually did kill himself. I'm sorry. It was Suicide Solution. The song is called Suicide Solution. Some fucking idiot killed himself, and they try to blame it on Ozzy Osbourne. He said, I had nothing to do with it. Nothing. Sharon! Nothing to do with it. When Chuck Mangione dies, there will probably be more people at that funeral, or when he gets, his funeral happens, than the Hulk Hogan funeral. There is a suggestion that Vinnie Paulino is mourning the loss of Hulk Hogan. Yeah, I don't know about that. I don't know if he's, I talked to Vinnie last year, and he followed Hogan on a couple of those, Real American Beer tour stops, and he said he was a total asshole in that thing. Becca Shays, but trying to get me to watch South Park because of the destruction of Trump on it, and I did not see it, but I can only imagine how fantastic it was. But no, I haven't watched it. I haven't watched anything in weeks. Again, the only thing I've watched recently was old episodes of Dog the Bounty Hunter. And there was a documentary on the Roosevelt family. Teddy, Eleanor, and Franklin. That's it. That's all I've watched. PBS, Ken Burns documentary on the Roosevelts, and Dog the Bounty Hunter. That's where my brain goes. Ryan Sandberg died. Ryan Sandberg was the shit. The greatest second baseman, greatest hitting second baseman ever. Some would say the best second baseman ever to play the game. I can't say he was the greatest hitting second baseman. I take that back. He was just an outstanding second baseman. Hall of Famer. Rest in peace, Ryan Sandberg, prostate cancer, way too young, in his 60s. For the love of God, find a fucking cure. At Yellowstone National Park, if you've ever been, especially the area around Old Faithful, the Old Faithful geyser itself is surrounded by a dome of solidified crust that in some places is very, very thin, created by the earth. And you can fall through it like ice. And there's a reason why they have places where you and I can walk. There, it's a path made out of like decking. So you walk around, you wait for the geyser to go off. You see that, you get the picture. There's seats all around it, so you can see Old Faithful go off, and it goes off like clockwork. And that's all you got to do. Now, every year, there's some asshole who steps off the trail, and they don't realize how much danger that they are in the second that the foot leaves the goddamn decked trail on this thing. But people still wander off. This asshole, 17-year-old, the same thing. He was walking along. Now, in that area of where Old Faithful is, there are several other geysers that you can just walk to. They're not as frequent, and some are quite unpredictable. But the whole area, the whole is, it's you. If you aren't walking on deck or parking lot, that's a problem. This is that area that is a massive caldera that if it were to ever blow up, we'd all be dead. It's a big fucking crusted over volcano. Idiot left the decked area and his foot broke through. So immediately his foot goes into scalding hot water. Now, there's two liquids that make up the liquid underneath the crust. Hot water or chemically hot water. The chemically hot water, it'll just it'll eat your foot. Just the hot water will scald the shit out of your foot. This idiot did all this shit. He stepped off the fucking thing and suffered significant thermal burns. Foot goes through. It's hotter than fuck. It's the type of hot where if the foot goes through and you pull it out, your foot's still wet. And it's going to take several seconds for the temperature of that water to get below instant third degree burns. So basically, it's just cooking. It's like making a rare steak. Your foot becomes a rare steak. Foot and ankle severely burned. This is the first reported thermal injury in Yellowstone this year and the first in roughly 10 months, but every year it happens. In September, a 60-year-old lady from New Hampshire broke through the crust and fell into the scalding hot water, burning her leg. She was walking her leash dog with her husband off the trail in the park. Now, in the times that I've been there, there's signs everywhere. They don't listen. They don't listen. The only thing they need to do is they need to get pictures of, like, mutilated people. This happened because they walked off the trail, walked off of the deck. This happened. Yellowstone Rangers said the boardwalks and trails throughout the park protect not only visitors who are capable of experiencing severe fatal burns because of the scalding water below, most of the thin, breakable crust around hot springs, but also the delicate thermal formations. More than 20 people have died from burns suffered after they entered or fell into Yellowstone's hot springs. While reminding that swimming or soaking in hot springs is prohibited, pets are also not allowed in thermal areas. This is a thing called hot potting. These goddamn hippies are like, let's do some hot potting. And they'll go walk up to it, and it looks very inviting. It's very clear. But you don't know if it's water or full of chemicals that will rot you or eat away, like sulfuric acid. And or the pH is so otherworldly, it just eats through your skin in an instant. So these hippies will go, they'll take off their clothes, they'll get in there, and then they're dead. There was a guy, I don't remember exactly when it was, who did just that. Him and the girlfriend took off their clothes, and he got in and immediately started reacting because it was hurting him. And so he's like, help me, help me. It's like that scene in RoboCop. Do you remember the scene when the guy is driving that that car and his RoboCop throws the bad guy into the toxic waste? And then he's like, and his face is all melted. And then Boddicker smashes into him with the car and the guy explodes because he looks like Toxic Avenger. That's what happened to this guy. So the guy is dissolving and the girl runs to get help because there's no cell phone. They come back and all they found was like a shoe. You might think I'm bullshitting you, but look, this is what I'm talking about. The death of Colin Scott. This is a view of what it looks like there, you know? That's the crust, and that's like the steam coming off of it. In 2016, Colin Scott, Portland, Oregon, died after falling into a thermal hot spring. So there's a sign that says you can't get in. He got in. The girlfriend filmed the journey as they walked several hundred feet off the boardwalk. They reached the thermal pool. Actually, I take it back. They weren't hot potting. He knelt down to check the water temperature, but slipped and fell in. It was 200 degrees Fahrenheit and very chemically. It was his sister, not a girlfriend. When park officials arrived, you can see it right here. They found partial remains, his head, a portion of his torso, and his hands. The following day says that the acidic water had dissolved his body, leaving his wallet and flip-flops. Can you imagine? They had to like say, all right, well, we can't get him. We're going in for the night. We'll try again tomorrow. And they come back and it's just a pair of flip-flops and a wallet. They should use the wallet and the flip-flops as part of a PR campaign about the dangers of approaching the hot springs. One academic wrote that Scott's tragic death at Yellowstone highlighted both the consequences of disregarding safety measures and the broader scientific implications of organic decomposition, thermophiles, and potential alternative post-mortem practices. So what they're saying there is this gives you an opportunity, like in the mortuary industry, you just throw a guy into a hot spring. He just becomes one with the planet like that. And all, yeah, just fish out his flip-flops when you're done. Holy fuck. Cole says his head and his hands, was he okay? Expertly done. Bob writes, stupid games, stupid prizes. Exactly. Everybody always says that, oh yeah, that's a worn out phrase. I don't think it is. I think it's a perfect phrase. Stupid game, stupid. That's a stupid game. You win a stupid prize. Nick says you don't want to become a stew. Badger says it would be like leaving a roast in a crock pot for way too long. Precisely. So if your sister, you never get over when you arrive back with the ranger to help him and there's just his head floating, bobbing along. Come on. There's racing at Berlin this weekend. If you want tickets, go to berlinraceway.com. You have to 11:59 p.m. to get those tickets. They're $15 when you buy them in advance. The parking is free, and 15 and under is free at berlinraceway.com. King's Room Barbershop is back in line for another quarter of marketing, despite me cutting my own hair the other day. King's Room Barbershop, three locations, Northland Drive, Caledonia, and at 821 36th Street. Thank you so much, King's Room Barbershop. If you need a realtor, you call on Adam Kasari, 616-914-4061. Adam will get you started whether you want to buy a home or you're selling yours. Reach out today. Kuipers, did you ever reach out to him? TC Paintball. There is some rumor that we will have a Saturday evening paintball event in September. That would be a first, at least I think, or at least the first one in a long, long time on a Saturday. I'll keep you posted. You can book an event at TC Paintball online at tcpaintballgr.com. And finally, Frank Fuss can get you started with your health care. If you're without coverage right now or you're in between jobs, maybe you're self-employed or your boss just doesn't offer your insurance, or maybe your workplace insurance is just too darn expensive, call upon Frank. He can figure out for you if you can get a better policy for a cheaper price. You go to buyinsurancehere.com and fill out your name and all your information. Buyinsurancehere.com. For more information. Your asshole of the day today. Imagine coming to my Facebook page, picking a fight with me, getting your ass kicked, and then telling a bunch of strangers to help him in defending his wife because he won't do it. That would be fat fuck Mike Stewart. You are the asshole today. Fuck off and have a nice day. Some of you are understanding that this is the end of the line. It always is when I do the asshole of the day. Rebecca says, great show in spite of not having a show. I did a show, and this is what I had written down. Nick says, we carried the load again. Tophis says, you don't need a show plan. It's so true. There's even shit that I had that I didn't even talk about. There's the sex toy that flew onto the basketball court during the WNBA game. Got to talk about that one. We got to talk about how the lead singer of Iron Maiden is dead. You're like, what? Yeah, it's true. The latest death is the lead singer of Iron Maiden. Don't look it up. Don't ask questions. I'll cover it in the Patreon. Have a great rest of your day, ladies and gentlemen. I appreciate you. If I don't talk to you on the Patreon. I should talk to you on the Patreon, though. If you're not part of it, sign up free at patreon.com/ericzane. I was hoping I could have gotten one of you to sign up between yesterday and today, but I'm still stuck at 237. Can we at least get to 238? Can one of you at least just try it out for a month, for God's sake? I've got to get to 240 by tomorrow. For fuck's sake. Thank you, folks. Have a good one. Till next time, battle.
When it comes to home insurance, Geico works for you. And since I'm the Geico Gecko, I work for you too.
Hey, Gecko, could you DJ my workout?
I got you, Derek. I know you like them sweet beats on leg day. Great home gym, by the way.
That's fire, Gecko.
I call this remix, bundle your home and car insurance so you can save and get coverage that grows with you.
Oh, yeah. Rolls right off the tongue. And you know what else I like?
Air horn.
Oh, yeah.
Let Geico work for you. Get more with Geico.